person? Are you that one person? One person can make a difference. I'd like to carry you down an avenue right now, challenging your thoughts in different ways to reach to this conclusion. You are one person, and you can make a difference. Our study going through the Bible, we looked at how thinking outside of the box, the times you got to go out, you got to survey, you got to see what's out there, you got to prepare to go in and allow God to work through your life. Secondly, we looked on the road to success. The road to success said, if you'll follow God and do it God's way, He will bring about the results that would bring Him honor and glory. Next, we looked at how to upgrade the faith, meaning we go through a period of time of chastisement. When God wants to work with us, many times He has to break us to make us. Chastisement is fun for no one, but yet it's God's way of moving us up closer to be more like Him. Today we're going to carry into another avenue. We're going to look at some of the situations that are going on inside of the world, and then we're going to come to the conclusions from five different people. In fact, I think I've got them listed there in the bulletin for you this morning that you could follow along with this trail right here. Thinking outside of the box, now let's move into discovering God's will for you. Next slide coming up. What you have here is how do we handle success? Handling success is built off of last week's message when the children of Israel went into Canaan. God was saying to them, when you go in there, you're going to go in, you're going to fighting, and you're going to be working, and you're going to be conquering. But after that is done, and you go in and you eat, you drink, and you marry, what are you going to do with the success? He warned us not to forget God. So how do we handle success? Next slide coming. We talk about some successes that are surrounding us today, such as Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A makes more in a restaurant than McDonald's, Starbucks, and Subway combined, and it's closed on Sunday. Isn't that neat? Isn't it neat how that somebody takes upon Christian principles? And I was writing from a guy named Patel some of the things about Chick-fil-A and the success, and he said, define your values and stick to them. I think he's right, because family, here's what it was said. Family was central to Truett Cathy, who was the founder of Chick-fil-A, and his business philosophy. His Christian faith served as a guide for his business, ethics, and decisions throughout his career. Early on, Cathy began closing his 24-hour diner every Sunday to make sure his employees had time to spend with their families and for worship. That's good. That is what we call success. And so many of us in our journeys were not allowed to do that. When Gene was working on the railroad, there were some times that he had to go out. He didn't have a choice on that. And Arnie has to go out on service calls sometimes, and he doesn't have a choice on that. And sometimes you're just broken out, and Stacy has to go in and work sometimes on some Sundays. And so each of us understands some of the things that are going through here. But the success. Let's go to the next slide. I want to give you another success. Hobby Lobby. Hobby Lobby, here's what they said they're committed to. Honoring the Lord in all we do by operating the company in a manner consistent with biblical principles. Offering our customers exceptional selection and value. Serving our employees and their families by establishing a work environment. Company policies that build, strengthen individuals, nurture families. Providing a return on family's investment. Sharing the Lord's blessing with our employees and investing in our community. What are we saying? Here are two major entities that did it God's way, and God blessed them. And God continually blesses them. So what I want in your mindset is we're going to be looking at five individuals in just a few moments, but I want you to see there are success in the society in which we live in for those who do it God's way. Go in, think outside of the box, do it God's way, and God brings about many times a great blessing. But there's another side to this. Next slide coming. How do we handle failure? It's as important for us to learn how to handle failure as it is how we handle success. And you can say, failure? Well, what are you talking about? Let me give you some areas in which each of us are going to be exposed to. In fact, while I was shaking hands, somebody coughed real loud. And when it was time to shake his hand, you know what I did? I pulled it back. We're all going to be exposed. How do we handle failure? Next slide. Coming up. Inside of the penal system today, 2.3 million. 698 out of 100,000 are in the penal system today. Can you imagine that? And you could break it down and you can see how that 1,306,000 are in the state prisons, and then I can't make out the others. But you can see the magnitude of those in prison. What happened? How do you deal with failure when something went off track? Next slide coming up. And this shows you the different categories in which they're in the penal system. Next category coming up. Something that maybe you've not been aware of. We say, okay, we know there's failure in the penal system because of people who are breaking the law. But what about those who have not done something wrong? Did you know that in Africa right now, that the locusts are devastating many of the areas? Africa's locust invasion spreading may be the most devastating plague in living memory, according to the United Nations. What are they doing? And these bugs are coming up and they're coveting and they go in, and one group of them in one day can eat as much as 35,000 people just in one day. And the multiplication rate that they lay about 100 eggs. And so therefore, you're talking about multiplication. So therefore, the food supply in South Africa can be so devastated, it is going to affect us. How are we going to deal with that? Next slide coming up. The Spanish flu in 1918 was one of the deadliest pandemics in history. Seemingly to come from nowhere in waning of the World War I, it spread throughout a war-ravaged world like wildfire. In a matter of months, a third of the world's population was infected. 50 to 100 million people died, and the global economy shrank by 5% in just a matter of months. So you can say, well, they didn't have the hospitals and the antibiotics and things like that that we have today. That's true. But look how the spread could be. What happened when failure occurs in our system? Next slide coming up. We think about the latest of 105,000 people. 3,500 people have died as a result of the virus, coronavirus. So you can see that little bitty thing, how it's attaching to lungs right there. Next slide. What's going to happen to us? When we think about the tornado in Nashville, Tennessee, 25 people were killed just recently. 50-mile stretch. This came across. These people didn't do anything wrong. But what happens when disaster comes in? How are you going to rebuild your life? Next slide coming up. The worldwide human trafficking. Some of the largest amount of trafficking in the world. One of it is right here in the United States. And you can see how the massive amount of 4,500 to about... I can't read that number. Y'all hang on with me just a second. Between 4,500 to 17,500 estimated people are trafficked in the United States each year. With 46% prostitution, 27% domestic servitude, 5% factories, 10% agriculture, 12%. Listen, folks, this is modern day slavery. And you can say, then I was told that the Super Bowl was the largest weekend of human trafficking in the United States when the Super Bowl occurred down in New Orleans. Human trafficking. It is happening right here in our country. So what are we going to do when failure occurs? Next slide comes up. I've given you two pictures. One, I've given you a picture of success. How do we deal with success? Two, I've given you a picture of natural disasters. And how are we going to deal with natural disasters? Or is that going to draw us to God or draw us away from God? Are we going to dig in and do something strong? And are we going to unite our families? Are we going to run the other way and be darkened and be defeated? God says you're valuable. Each one of you, you are valuable. Now, I'd like to give you five personalities right here. And then we're going to ask these questions along these guys. First of all, the guy comes up in Joshua chapter 5. Next slide comes up. Says, one man in the presence of God. What happened? Joshua was traveling along, and then all of a sudden this angel, angelic-like creature, which could very well have been the Lord Jesus Christ, which was a visible representation of the invisible God, standing up there. And Joshua says, who are you? Are you for us or against us? And you know what he said? I'm neither. I'm not for you nor I'm against you, but I am the captain of the Lord's host. And then the captain of the Lord's host, this representation of God, this theophany said, take off your shoes, for the place where you stand is holy ground. And so Joshua takes off his shoes. And as a man submitting himself to the Lord, living a holy life, he is now ready to go and lead men. In the face of success and in the face of failure, God is looking at holiness. Are you a holy man? Are you, in fact, somebody said, well, where was this holy ground? Anytime, any place you meet God, that's holy ground. And God desires for us to be leaders in success and leaders in failure by walking on holy ground. Are you ready to walk? What did he do? Because this man walked on holy ground in Joshua chapter 5, he led many people to accomplish what God wanted. Victory on every hand. But now, that's okay. That's Joshua. This man was about 80 years old. He was a man. He was out there. He was working hard now. And that's a man doing what a man's supposed to do. But what about the next person that come up? Let's go to the next slide. What about this woman? What is the setting? The setting is, here's the city that's called Jericho. The setting is, God said, this city is going to be destroyed, and I want you to go in and kill every man, woman, boy, and girl. The setting is, he sends two spies into Jericho. And while they were there in Jericho, they go to a... Let's see, get the word out right. I was going to say a whorehouse, a brothel, a lady of ill repute. Rahab was a harlot. That's where they went. And when they went in there, this woman said she was going to protect them. And as a result, she said, I'll protect you if you'll do this. If you'll spare me, my father, my family, and those with me. So all of a sudden, Rahab the harlot, she stood against the tide. And because she stood against the tide, she was spared her family, her father, her relatives, all those that were inside of the house. Now, make application to this. We need ladies who will stand up for faith against the raging tide of fear. We need ladies who will say, As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We need ladies who are going to say, I know all around me, but this is what God wants me to do. And realizing this, God took a woman of a wrong industry, gave her, by faith, gave her life, and she became in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Point being this, we need men who will walk on holy ground and humble themselves. We need women who will stand against the tide. Seek forgiveness? Yes. But what women will stand in the gap for their family? If many of the women didn't stand in the gap, if she hadn't have stood in the gap, her family would have been lost. They would have been no more. But because she believed God, her family was spared. That burden is placed upon you, ladies. Stand the course of time. Next person we're going to see, we're going to be looking at the children of Israel. They're going into Jericho. They're going to walk around the wall 7 times. And on the 7th day, they're going to walk 7 times. But they've been given these instructions. When you go in, you don't take anything. You just kill every man, woman, boy, and girl, and you kill the animals. You don't take everything. You keep your hands to yourself. You keep your eyes covered. And you walk and you obey the word of God and you conquer. So what did they do? They walked around for 7 times. They walked 7 days on the 7th day. They walked around and then they shouted unto glory to the Lord and Joshua. And the walls fell. And these guys, they didn't go around. They went right straight through every one of them into Jericho. The walls fell. They also went in. Remember Rahab the harlot? They went to her house. And everybody that was in her house was spared. They were taken out of the death and destruction. They were taken to freedom. She stood the gap for faith against fear. But then we have a guy who goes in. His name is Achan. He goes in and he sees some money and he sees some clothing. And his eyes look upon it and he took them. Was that wrong? God said, through Joshua, you don't touch anything. But with his coveting eyes, he went in and he took some bounty. He took them back to his tent. He hid them in his tent. Next day or so, they come up and they go to battle. And the children of Israel were defeated by a lesser city, a lesser nation. And 36 men died as a result of this man's wandering eyes. So what are you talking about? In the face of success and in the face of failure, men, we must protect our eyes. Because if we do not protect our eyes, then that will lead us into actions. And those actions may cost the life of our friends or may cost the life of our families. Wandering eyes, covetousness, can kill you. So what happened? 36 men died as a result of this. But not only that, Joshua and their hearts melted with fear. And they said, God, what's going on, God? What have you brought us out here to die? Now everybody's going to hear and they're going to kill us. And God says, Joshua, you get up. You sinned. Someone sinned within the camp. And he told them how to pick the person out. And it came all the way down to Achan. And then said, Achan, you confess up. And Achan said, I took it. And he told them where the bounty was. And they went and looked and they confirmed it. And so then they said, take Achan and his family outside of the camp and stone them to death. Where did that come from? Wondering eyes. A covetous heart. men, we must protect our eyes. And it's not only just the men. There in the Garden of Eden, when Eve looked upon the apples, she looked, she lusted, and she leaped. And she disobeyed God, and sin entered into the world. We must protect our eyes. The next person that we see coming up there, not only was a man who walked in rebellion and cost the life of himself and his family, but there was a man in Joshua chapter 8 in the city of Ai. First round out, when Israel had sinned, first round out, Israel went in, and the men of Ai sent them running and killed 36 of them. But then Joshua and Israel repented, and they set an ambush. Next day out, man, the leaders thought they had them. And Israel started running. And every man outside of the city left and went to battle. I want you to capture that just for a moment. Every man went outside of the city chasing after the Israelites. And what did he do? They left the city exposed. See, men, we can get ourselves all wrapped up in the moment, and we can charge out, and Satan can be laying a trap for us. And then when they charged out and they got away from them, then all of a sudden the ambush came in, the Israelites came in, they burned the city, put it up in smoke, and then the men of the city saw their home destroyed. Their hearts melted, and every man died except for one. That was the king. They brought the king back, and they brought him to Joshua. And Joshua said, "Hang him." Men, if we rush out and we do not protect our home, enemy can do terrible things. Wicked men got full payment and they died. So what did he do? They hung him on a cross. They hung him on a cross until dark. He was dead from spear. They hung him on a cross. And then they buried him right there in the city, and they put stones, they covered his body for all to come by and see and remember what the vengeance of God can do. And by the way, that was a just punishment, because these people had sinned against God, and God brought forth justice. And when he brought forth justice, the city was lost completely. Where have we gone? We've looked at a man on holy ground. We looked at a woman who stood by faith against the fear. We looked at a man who had wandering eyes and cost the life of his family and 36 of his friends. And then we looked at another man who went out in the heat of the moment and what they thought was a cause, and their families were destroyed because they lost sight of what was happening. And so we find a man cursed on the cross. We're going to conclude this morning by looking at another man. This man protected the family. This man was tempted in all manners, and yet without sin. This man healed the sick, raised the dead, caused the blind to see. This man obeyed his father completely. This man never sinned, he was sinless. But this man was hung on a cross and became a curse, because the Bible says, "Cursed is the man that hangs on a tree." This man was Jesus Christ. He hung on a cross for your sins and for my sins. Had he ever sinned? No. Did he love you? Yes. By his stripes we are healed. Was he there to protect the family? Yes. Was he protect? Yes. But in all of these things, he was obedient to God. So our question comes this morning. Which one of the men on the cross are you going to follow? The man of wickedness who ran in deceit and lost it all? Or the man who became a curse for you and for me, Jesus Christ? Because there is a big difference. The man in Ai was covered in stones, and he never rose. But the man Jesus was buried, and he rose again today. How will you handle success? How will you handle failure? How will you handle it when a food supply is cut off in Africa? How will you handle it when your friends and neighbors are placed in prison and their children are being left out on their own, so to speak? How are you going to handle it when you're called upon to walk on holy ground and to be a leader for the victory of Jesus Christ? How are you going to handle it when you're a woman and everybody else is looking in one direction, but you know the truth? And you stand for the truth. And you overcome fear with faith. How are you going to handle it when the leader of your city is wicked? How are you going to handle it when the one that you trusted was cursed and hung on a cross? How are you going to handle it when your sin is brought in front of you? Are you going to lay your sin at the feet of Jesus? Are you going to lay at the feet of Jesus your success? Are you going to lay at the feet of Jesus your failures and say, Jesus, I'm yours. I'm yours, Lord. How are you going to handle success and failure? Let's pray. Father, as we come before you this morning, each of us must really answer this question. How are we going to handle it? Lord, is this virus going to sweep through our nation? Is our financial system going to go further down? In a matter of months, are we going to start seeing high prices? Are we going to see jobs cut off? Are we going to see families broken? Are we going to see our jails increase? Are we going to see our families under attack? Who are we going to listen to, Father? Because there are two voices that are out there and they are playing. Who are we going to listen to? Father, I pray that each one of us this day, in this place, take off our shoes. For wherever we meet Jesus Christ, wherever we meet God, that is holy ground. And Father, may this day we take off our shoes and we bow before you, for this is holy ground. And by faith, we take our stand, men and women, for our family. And by our faith, Lord, we rise up against those in authority who would seek to do evil, and we say, no, no further. And by faith, God, we will be counted, because we're going to watch our eyes. We're going to protect our mind, and we're not going to turn to the right hand, to the left hand, but we are going to obey the commands of Jesus Christ, and by faith, we are going to trust in the resurrected living Lord. It's today, Lord. It's today. We make our decisions, Lord, today. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So what is the invitation this morning? Spiritually speaking to you, do you need to take off your shoes? Do you need to stand in faith rather than fear? Do you this day need to reject the leadership of those who would seek to do evil? Do you this day need to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? That is what's here. We cannot hide from it. It's evident. It's surrounding us. And the truth about the matter is, it's not going to get better. It's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. Are we ready for success? And are we ready for failure? Give your life to Jesus Christ this morning. That's what I recommend you to do. Prayer altar is going to be open. Maybe some of us just need to get there and say, God, in success and in failure, I trust you. What is God speaking to you this morning? Let's stand together and sing.